Resistance Movement Radio. Woman's Movement Radio. Welcome to Woman's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Zinstros. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to my show today. As always, I will be speaking to women all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, while always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When I return, we'll be talking about why women aren't funny. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. Are women funny? I think women are exceptionally funny. And if you look back through time, we've seen some really great female comedians who have kept us entertained over the decades. Well, one of them happens to be coming up next on our show, and her name is Bonnie McFarlane. She's been cracking up people all across the country for almost 20 years. She happens to be Canadian, born and raised from Alberta on a farm, but now she resides in the big city of New York. And recently, the last Comic Standing finalist, she stepped into the world of documentary filmmaking with a film titled Women Aren't Funny. And it happens to be a humor-filled study if women are truly funny. The film, which is produced by her comedian husband, Rich Voss, was one of the top-ranking films on iTunes Video. Stay tuned. Bonnie McFarlane is up next.
The hottest new gel polish just got cooler. Reaction by Gel 2. Color-changing polish that heats up and cools down, transforming your look. 12 temperature-activated colors that evolve with you. For a perfect manicure that strengthens nails, choose Gel 2. What's your reaction?
And we're back this week on Women's Movement Radio Show. I'm Janae Eisenstrauss, and I'm here so excited to talk to the wonderful Bonnie McFarlane. She's this really fast, witty, born as well as Canadian comedian, and she's been, you know, doing stand-up all over the country and around the world over the last 10 years. And we're just so happy to have her here. Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. It's actually, I've been doing stand-up for 20 years, so yeah, a long time.
Yeah, you've been definitely doing it for quite some time, right?
Yeah, I started in Vancouver, but then I moved to Toronto really shortly after that, and then, I was in New York within a year and a half or something after that. So I blew through the Canadian portion of my stand-up very quickly.
Well, you have so many amazing things, you know, and such a level of diversity. We're going to talk about a wide array of things today, you know, such as you going over to New York City, and we're going to talk about what that was like for you. And then, you know, we're going to talk about your documentary, Women Aren't Funny, which you and I were talking off the record about why people think women aren't funny. I think it's hilarious. I think it's a grave misconception. But before we get into that, I want to always ask you, have you always wanted to be a performer? What was it? What age was it when you were like, aha, I'm going to be a comedian. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
No, I didn't want to be a performer. I still am on the fence on that one. I've always... being on stage or in front of the camera is my least favorite part of the whole job. I love the writing. I love being around comedians. I love being around all these smart, funny people all the time and engaging in these, you know, conversations that probably a lot of people might think is, you know, horrible, the things we talk about. But, you know, I like I like the idea of being a comedian probably more than I actually like being a comedian. But I did always want to be a writer. That was my main goal. And when I was in Vancouver, I got a job as a hostess at a comedy club to supplement my my meager writing monies that I was making. I was doing, like, you know, just weird freelance writing, you know, pamphlets and stuff for different companies. And that's what I was like, this is amazing. I'd never really, you know, I'd seen stand-up comedy once or twice before in my life, but this was like, to see it every night was like really eye-opening and amazing. And I said, I want to write this. So I went and I started writing comedy, and I was going to give it to these different comedians or try to sell it to them. And they were like, that's not how it works. You know, we don't make any money, so we can't buy jokes. You have to just write for yourself. And so after about a year of writing and at stand-up, I finally got the nerve to try it. And then once I did it, it was sort of like, you know, the genie was out of the bottle, and I won a contest. I moved to Toronto, and then I was in New York performing within, you know, just a short couple of years.
Well, you know, I think that you've done such a wide array of things. And one of the things that we're going to talk about and something that I loved was women aren't funny. What inspired that? And why is this grave misconception that women aren't funny? I'm funny. We're funny. Why do you think women aren't funny?
Because I think white men have always been catered to. They're, you know, for art, for entertainment. They've always, you know, there's always things specifically for white men. And then for everybody else, we've had to sort of like step out of our own lives and try to identify with other kinds of people. And so I think for a lot of, you know, white guys, they think like if it's not funny to them, then they write it off as not being funny. Or if it's not good in their mind, they don't think it's good. So they get confused, I think, a lot of times when other people like something that they don't get. They're like, what? How can you think this is good? You know, it's not for me. It's not made for me. And it's like, well, not everything is, you know. So I think a lot of that happens where stuff is specifically, you know, there's stuff that's, you know, there's comedy that is for all different kinds of people. And then there's a more specific personal kind of comedy that if you're a woman, it probably appeals to women more than men.
Well, I think the blatant reality is that, since you were talking about for white men, women and the visible majority are now, I guess, more at the forefront of what is happening in media. So I think it's going to be an interesting transitional. We're going to see that transition, that shift take place.
I think it already is. Yeah,
agreed. Well, I think it's going to be, we're still pushing the snowball up the mountain. You know what I mean? But eventually it's going to have to get to the top and go down the mountain. And that tiny little snowball will turn into this big, you know, boulder ball that will become spiraling towards everybody. So I think that there's much more for us to do. I was glad that you created Women Aren't Funny because, like I mentioned to you off before we started interviewing, I love Lisa Lampanelli. Like, and I think she goes right to bat with the men. I was glad that you featured her in there. How did you two get together, and how did she decide to be a part of this?
Well, Lisa and I have known each other a really long time. We actually, when I first got to New York, I took an acting class that she was in. And so I saw Lisa, you know, go from not being in any of the New York clubs and not, you know, nobody really caring too much about her as a comedian to really taking over the scene. And she did it truly just through sheer force of will. And she's the only comedian. I moved to Los Angeles, but I would come back to New York and we would drive. I would go with her and she would be driving to the clubs, handing out her headshots and giving, you know, the managers like a rundown of the things that she had been doing. And I'd never seen any comedian do that before. You just sort of like, you waited till you got past at the club and, you know, it was like a lot more passive, you know, a way to get ahead in the way that I was doing it at least. And so it was really great to see her really pushing and getting places. Then I remember when she started doing Howard Stern and then she started doing the roast and, you know, and she really just did it all, you know, by herself, by just, she just kept sheer tenacity.
Well, one of the things that I think that you already mentioned is something that is universal or deemed universal amongst women is our passivity. Us being passive and not being aggressive, because I definitely know that Lisa probably came up against, you know, everybody wanting, and especially white men, wanting to Emily Post us. Women should be ladylike. Women should not use verbiage that is so convoluted with profanity. And, you know, all of these things that women have thrown at us. So I thought it was great that she was also featured in there. And after making the film, do you think that female comics have, to add to the dialogue, do you think they have a harder time than the male counterparts?
Well, I think in doing stand-up in terms of being on the road, and I still think there might be a little bit some you know, I think it's changed. It certainly in my 20-year career, I've seen it change an amazing amount. When I first started doing stand-up, when I would go to the stage, I would see men visibly sort of like, oh, slump their shoulders and like, oh, we got to sit through this. And really early on, I remember thinking like, well, if I'm good at all, you know, it's in a way it's good that they have low expectations, because if I'm at all good, they're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. And they're going to be impressed. So that's the way I changed it in my own head so that I could do it. But it's not like that anymore. I think people see so many different kinds of comedy, men, women, you know, black, white, Asians, South Asians. You see so much different kinds of comedians up there that it's really not. You used to just see like this one kind of comic. And then if you didn't see that kind of comic, it was like it would throw you as an audience member. Like, wow, well, I don't know what this is. But now, you know, I think it's really different and great. And it's great to go on stage and not have to worry about, like, do I have to get over this hump of being a lady on stage?
Well, you know what? I think that's so sad that even when you were sharing that your counterparts would be sitting in the audience watching. Now, was it your counterparts, or was it just men in the audience that were like, oh, we're going to have to sit through this?
Oh, no, just audience members. You could see them when they were introducing a woman, you could see them visibly sort of like, you know, dropping.
Well, you know what's so funny is that, they should try to do that in front of Lisa Lampanelli, and then when she, like, completely goes off on them, then, you know, they'll think twice before ever doing that again, ever to a woman. But, yeah, I'm glad to what you said at the latter part of that conversation is that, you know, it is shifting. Things are moving forward in society. More and more women are coming out in this field. And I'm glad that you discovered really what it is that you want to do. I think, also doing this film, you probably saw some, what were some of the dark sides to doing this project? Outside of just, like, you know, the stuff with the men. Like, what were some of the dark sides? Did women get catty? Is it highly competitive for women? Does everybody want to be queen bee? What are some of the dark sides to doing comedy?
Some of the dark sides, you know, when you first start doing stand-up, it's really, really competitive. Everybody thinks that they're better than the next guy. Nobody's good, really, at all when they start. And I think it's, you know, women are not as supportive as other women. But men aren't as supportive to other men. I mean, you form alliances as you go along. And once you get out of that, you know, that very, very competitive, trying to make your mark first sort of steps in stand-up, you know, maybe the first 5 years or so before you start getting television or getting in at the club. And then at some point, it just changes dramatically. You get a little more secure in your career.